Good morning. It is still morning here on this lovely Friday. I'm your host, Edward Marlowe, and this is the For Those Who Inquired podcast. Yeah, 10:47, Friday, November 20th. We've got some high school football tonight. Feels like it's been about a month since that's happened.
Yeah.
We've got high school basketball has been postponed to January 4th.
Called it. We both called it.
Yeah, we both called that one. We've got college basketball starting in about 96 hours, just 5 days.
Wow.
And we had an NBA draft that went pretty successful for the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, a lot going on right now. Some good, some bad, some kind of in the middle. Where do we stand right now, Neil?
Well, I do know probably the lead story this past week that should show you how little sports was going on was about a giraffe named Ja, right? A giraffe. And that's been the big story. Next week it might have got buried in some sports, but there wasn't a lot going on, but it was a really cute story.
It was absolutely wonderful. So for those who inquired, actually, for the uninitiated, I don't know how you could be at this point because it was absolutely – it was the first thing I woke up to on Thursday morning, Neil. I'm checking my numbers, checking my Twitter, making sure I'm not missing some lead stories, and all of a sudden, out of the Daily Memphian and Memphis News, Drew Hill actually had the first news about it. Basically, it was just the Memphis Zoo sent out a small release.
Yeah.
Really kind of cute, quaint couple of photos that said, "Hey, you know, two of our giraffes in captivity that we've had for, you know, as part of our zoo exhibit for giraffes. We have 6 giraffes. Now we have 7. They've given birth to a healthy baby boy. We're naming him after the 2020 NBA Rookie of the Year in Ja Morant. We're going to name him Ja Raff," which is
great.
It's great. The giraffe was adorable. 2 hours later, the Memphis Grizzlies had already photoshopped a jersey onto the giraffe. I mean, it was just in a year full of negativity, frustration, anger, COVID-19, it was just to me, it was a unique opportunity, to put a giraffe on our sports page, which I did, center of the sports page.
And if they named it Bob, they'd got no publicity at all.
No.
Oh, there's a giraffe. Great.
Giraffe.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, there have already been some versions of the name come out, like Ja Moraff.
Okay.
Which is good, too. Like, apparently a couple of people from the Memphis Zoo were like, "Oh, we should have thought of that." But yeah. Ja Raff just makes the most sense.
It does. You have to tell me, because I know Twitter, someone already has a Ja Raff account.
Oh, I'm sure.
They have to have.
Absolutely. And not only that, so the best part about it was the Memphis Zoo announced Ja Raff using, like, a basketball intro. They did, like, a little Twitter video that was, like, 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And it was like, "It's 6'3", 140-pound calf, Ja Raff." And it's just great.
That's great.
He's got an 18-month-old sister named Allie. Again, he's the 7th giraffe now at the Memphis Zoo. For those wanting to know, when you go to Memphis, the Memphis Zoo, other than maybe some holidays, is open Monday through Sunday, 9 to 5.
Never been to Memphis Zoo, so I don't know much about it. I love giraffes. I think it's at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah,
you can feed them.
Yes, you can
get out there on a little platform.
I have fed them
stuff.
It's wonderful.
Get a nice photo right there with you. At St. Louis, it's kind of a different deal. You're over a wall, but they're also kind of hanging out with you there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to read real quick what I wrote about the giraffe. First of all, 6'3", 140 pounds. I mean, he puts on about 15 to 20 pounds. He'll be ready to...
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be ready to contribute right away.
Yeah, but he's
going to
put on the height as much as the pounds.
Well, so that's the other thing, too, is... first of all, I think what I was reading from Drew Hill and the Daily Memphian and Memphis News, like, they have been waiting for an opportunity to do something that was related to the Memphis Grizzlies, like at the Memphis Zoo. They wanted to find a way to collaborate with the new rookie and all that sort of stuff. And now that opportunity, not only has it come about, but, I mean, they bred a giraffe. Like,
yeah,
it happened. They had a newborn. He's now 10 days old. And here we are with it. I love it. I love it. So yeah, here's what I wrote. Yeah. "Will Ja Raff make Taylor Jenkins' rotation in 2020-2021? The jury's still out on this one. The Grizzlies' front office had a strong Thursday night in the NBA draft after landing TCU sharpshooter Desmond Bane Jaren Jackson's former teammate and Michigan big man, Xavier Tillman, and Brandon Clark's former teammate and Gonzaga's Killian Tilly. But giraffes typically grow to a height of 15 to 20 feet as the world's tallest terrestrial animal, can weigh up to 1,800 pounds, and they can sprint 35 miles an hour. It'll take only 15 months for Jaraf to mature, where his fast break skills and court vision will undoubtedly take a large leap.
Yay.
I mean, you got to think in 15 months, the Memphis Grizzlies might have a giraffe.
Might have.
All jokes aside, I think it was really funny. I think it was just great comedic relief.
Yeah.
We
need that.
And I'm really excited to see it. Like, I mean, I'll probably be down in Memphis at some point. Apparently, at the Memphis Zoo, they were already taking pictures. Kids were allowed to kind of go up to the establishment, to the display, and hang out with a giraffe.
That's really neat.
Yeah, it is super
cool.
I like it. Men's basketball news also came out earlier this week. Matt Norlander, CBS senior writer, used a rubric that no point in going through. I suggest if anybody wants to take a look at it, it's through CBSSports.com. He broke down the 68 best college basketball programs of all time. Using a pretty mathematical rubric,
right,
and formula, assigning points to specific benchmarks throughout the years. And Murray State men's basketball comes in at 44th.
Well, that's impressive when you consider, and I realize there's some new programs, but there's 351 as of last year. I don't know how many there are this year. It may be up or down to one or two, but 350-ish. That's pretty good company right there all the time.
Yeah, considering like the top four programs are what you would expect, you know, Kentucky, UCLA, Duke, UNC, in any particular order.
Yeah, anyone could have kind of guessed that.
Probably. I'd say those four. Kansas was five. I think six was Louisville. You know, seven, eight, Cincinnati's in there. You know, Villanova, UConn. That all makes sense for kind of your top ten. And like I said, Cincinnati at 10 made a lot of sense. But again, it's all numbers. This wasn't somebody just arbitrarily throwing darts at a board. This was taking a specific mathematical formula. And what it really broke down to is that Murray State men's basketball over, you know, since 1938, 1939, has won a lot of conference titles, regular season. They've put guys in the NBA, and they've seen significant success both as a ranked basketball program and as a winning basketball program. Part of the rubric actually comes down to losses counted for like a half point loss. You know, so I mean, if you have a lot of losses on your record, you're losing a lot of points. But Murray State basketball, the number one thing that I found interesting about the article is Matt Norlander doubles down on the fact that he believes Tevin Brown is the next NBA guy for the Murray State Racers.
Okay.
And if our one listener, Dave Winder, heard me say that, I'm telling you, man, you're going to be buying me lunch.
That's what you say.
Tevin Brown is going to be a first-round draft pick. I don't think it's this year. I think this year is as unprecedented of a year as we will ever see in college basketball, with the logjam of talent, the situation evolving around and revolving around the, you know, free year, you know, that's supposed to be happening. I mean, no one knows what all is going to occur, but I just think his skill set is ready for the next level. And I don't mean ready right now. I just mean it will be there. It's going to happen. Is he going to take the Dylan Windler route? You know, where he plays 4 years in the OVC and then his body is ready for the next level? I think that's very likely. But Tevin is just an extremely special talent. He is the only player who had his stat line in college basketball last year with points, rebounds, assists, steals. He's the only person who put different numbers in different categories and just basically was playing Yahtzee.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm giving you 15, 6, 5, and 4, you know, or 8, 9, 7, and 3. Like, he just was doing everything for the team because it's team games, team basketball. There were nights where he needed to score 30, and there were nights where he needed to rebound 10, you know, and sometimes that mixed and sometimes it didn't. And, you know, what is he going to do this year? I'm not sure. You know, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy. I mean, he should have a special year. Dave, go ahead and prepare the bank account, because I think the lunch is going to come sooner rather than later.
Man. Well, we'll wait and see. I'm not a really good judge on NBA talent. I've been wrong so many times. So I I'm not really one to see. But it'd be awesome if that happens. It'd be great for Tevin.
I just think he has the game for it. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe in the late 80s, early 90s, he's probably not a guy that gets drafted, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, cuz the game was so, you know, bang-em, you know, I mean just a little bit more physical, a little bit less finesse. Now I say these things and they were still beautiful basketball played in the late 80s and early 90s. So I mean, don't chastise me on that. I know that there was a great basketball played, but it was a much more physical game in the late 80s and early 90s. You could get away with so much more physicality, so much more ugly basketball, I guess, if you want to call it that, where guys were just getting murdered in the post. I mean, you don't have the Bad Boys Pistons without the Bad Boys being Bad Boys. Like, that's how that worked, you know? You had guys mauling each other underneath the basket, and it was two free throws, and yeah. That's it. There was no technical. That's how it was played. I've seen it. You know, that's where I grew up watching that type of basketball. You know, now it is a bit more, in my opinion, at least if that matters at all, it's a bit more technical. I mean, you have a lot more cutting. You have a lot more. You know, it's a 3-point game now. The 3-pointer is as important to the game now. You know, because I mean, you remember when they instituted the 3-point?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, even at the high school level, I remember it, in high school and college.
And I don't want to say at that point that it was a gadget play, but at that point it was like, well, this is a really special shot. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an integral part of the game. Like, yeah. if you can't shoot a three-pointer and you're a center, I mean, you're not playing, you know, at the next level. Like, if you can't even make 30% of your threes as a 7-foot-1 center, you're probably not going to get a lot of minutes in the NBA. Like, you just have to be able to consistently make that shot enough to make a defense stretch you out that far.
I saw Ja play this past season in Memphis and watch the warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
That was one of the crazy things where it kind of brought that to light to me, is watching all the big guys for both teams out there. It's like, why are they out there shooting three? Whoa, he hit that one. He hit another one. He hit another one. They were shooting them because they can make them. They weren't just, I'm going to goof off and try to make a three out
right.
there. I was stunned at how well they shot them. So they have to be able to, they may not have to be able to make a lot of them. They have to be able to make one now and again, and some of them are better than others. But the fact that that's in their arsenal and the coach gives them the green light, they certainly do. Of course, the strategy is within 24 seconds, get it to guys who are better shooters. But if you need to take one and it's down on the clock, let her fly.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to let it go. And that's, you know, part of the reason, and let's take this back to Murray State men's basketball. I think it's part of the reason why I'm just excited to see where KJ Williams is taking his game. You know, I'm going to bring this up because I'm just still bitter about it. I got laughed out of the room when I said last year after the first game of the season, which Murray State men's basketball's first game is approaching here soon, next Wednesday, I got laughed out of the room by a couple of guys, Adam Wells from WPSD, when I said KJ Williams would have 53-point attempts by the end of the year. By God, that man had 53-point attempts.
Wow.
Exactly.
How about that?
So,
there you go.
Take that for data. And that's the David Fizdale reference from when he was coaching in Memphis. He said, take that for data, because he was mad that his guys weren't getting foul calls. And anyways, I digress. It's just, it is what it is. And KJ, this is a 6'11", by the way. 6'11", forward/center for the Murray State Racers, who took 53-pointers last year. Wasn't a gadget play. They were in rhythm. We talked a lot about this last year, Neil, about how when his three-point shooting was on, the team was undefendable. Indefensible, undefendable, whatever word you want to use there. Yeah. They could not be defended because he would stretch the defense out so far that guys could just cut to the basket for free.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, whatever, walk it in. Because he drew that attention. It's like, oh, my God, here's a 6'11 guy who is a 12-7 dude, shot better than 50% from the floor, attacked the basket relentlessly, was great under the post, elite rebounder. Oh, and he's going to pull out and shoot for threes, you know, maybe twice a game.
Well, the reason he's able to do that is because you had other rebounders. Anthony Smith being one of those. He's going to go get it. Anthony wasn't going to go out and make threes, didn't need to.
Tevin Brown.
But he allowed KJ to go out and do it. And Tevin rebounded really well for a guard. And this year it may be Damon Robinson in there. You imagine that's a big 1-2 punch. Will they play at the same time? What will the starting lineup be? What do the new guys look like? No idea. When I go to the game Wednesday night, You racer fans will know as much about the team as I do because I haven't seen them at all since March.
Well, and that you and I have alluded to that frequently over the last month, Neil, and I want to continue to hammer it home. This is as much of a revelation process for us as it will be for fans that, you know, they get to come to these games. And next week's a big week. I mean, you've got essentially two preseason games in Brescia and Kentucky Wesleyan. We'll talk a lot more about them next week. I think you and I are probably with Thanksgiving, just for our listeners, we're going to record between those two games at some point. We'll find some sort of time to carve out Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's a carve out joke, turkeys. But, you know, the Racers do play on the 25th and the 28th. And Murray State women's basketball, dovetail into that a little bit, they actually play, you know, on the 25th against Kentucky. You know, yeah. this is a team that not only has a new head coach, but also has Ryan Howard. So, and also got another couple of eligibility waivers in the past couple of weeks. So they've got their work cut out for them in, you know, what is going to be a preseason All-American. So and a new head coach who's long been on the bench helping out Matthew Mitchell and Elsie. So it's just really exciting. I mean, it's finally here. We're finally talking about basketball.
Yeah, I really thought we're doing this on a Friday. I thought there was a possibility that we could see conferences yank all the non-conference games by today. The fact that it hasn't happened by today, I now don't believe that'll happen. The only tweak I could see is you may see some schools, I don't know that it'll be NCAA-wide, but there may be some schools in some states, and there already are some in some states, but there may be others follow suit that pulls back on fans to where there aren't any. That hasn't happened in Kentucky, but there are states where they are not allowing any. You might see that increase by the time we get to conference play. I do think it's going to get better, but I'm not sure we're going to get a lot of improvement in the numbers overall, consistent improvement, until probably maybe sometime in late January.
Well, and that's, you know,
And I'm not a doctor. That's just kind of how viruses work.
The only reason I was hesitating there, I'll say this: if you're a fan who gets to go, I guess it's a count your lucky stars type of situation. I will say, I think media is going to play a vital role in providing what teams are doing over the next 2 to 3 months, especially leading into conference tournaments. I mean, the newspaper may be as vital as ever, and I know that that's probably just a shameless self-plug, but guys like you and Kenny are going to be as important as ever because people are going to be at home more than ever listening on the radio. They're going to be watching WPST highlights. They're going to be reading the Paducah Sun and the Murray Ledger and Times and the Mayfield Messenger. And, you know, we're just talking about this from a micro level. People are going to be taking in their local media because they might not get tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
most won't.
Most won't. Yeah. I'm just saying I'm trying to be polite about it, but from a likelihood, it's not very high. I mean, when you're only going to allow 15% capacity, that's capacity, not fans. You're probably looking at 900 to 1,000 tickets, you know, and unless something changes throughout the season. So these first few games, especially like the Austin Peay games, one here and one in Clarksville, the Belmont game in Nashville, I mean, it's rampant. COVID-19's rampant in Nashville right now. And so
it's rampant about everywhere.
There's
not many spots where it's just not rolling.
It's not an issue. Yeah. And so we say all these things. I agree. Again, we've addressed it. We'll continue to address it until it's, you know, no longer an issue. But, you know, the concern is, you know, will we even have fans by January? And I think you have a fair point. It's extremely debatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. And also, this isn't locked in stone if we do see that significant improvement. We've never been through this before, so we don't know. It could come first week of February. It's like, my gosh, it's close to died out. I don't think that'll happen, but it could. And if it does, I'm sure they'll readjust because everyone will go, man, come on, let's let some more people come in. And that could happen.
Yeah, it could.
It could happen. You might see a state tournament instead of the NCAA tournament. We hadn't even talked about that. They want to play that right now at one venue, everything.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
It's, and or not one venue, one city, right? Yeah, not really one venue.
One city.
But they might could allow fans if the numbers are better. They may can. I don't know.
Can you imagine? Well, first of all, they've had Final Fours in Lucas Oil. That's a non-issue.
Yeah.
Can you imagine playing an NCAA tournament game in Hinkle, though? That's already, I mean, people are already talking about that.
Yeah, that you know, that'd be neat. That's one of my bucket list places to go, and really that's probably not going to happen unless it's under, you know, where I can't see us home and home and with Butler. I guess it could happen, but don't see the likelihood of that going on. But I'd like to do that one, and Cameron Indoor and Pauley Pavilion. Mick, come on. Get on the phone.
True, Mick. But never give us a call.
Anyway.
You know, yeah. We'll go to Pauley. Let's have fun with it. Look, if the Racer volleyball team can play in Pauley, why can't the Racer men's basketball team play in Pauley?
I know, yeah. Well, they were sent there. They didn't have any
choice.
That's true.
They were sent there.
They did have a choice. They could have said, we're not going, and they went, okay, forfeit.
Yeah.
but that was their two choices, though.
And they took a set.
Yeah, they did. They were pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It was an impressive team.
That was a very, very impressive team under Scotty Ingram and against UCLA. That was fun. Yeah. But Pauley, I've never been. I don't have any reason to go unless UCLA called and said hey, and the Racer and Paxton Media said hey, we'll send you to Pauley.
I've been to California actually a lot with the Racers. I really have, more than you might expect.
Yeah.
But just never been to UCLA. But we've taken road trips to Santa Clara, been to St. Mary twice, went to San Diego to play in the tournament, and on. So we definitely had our number of trips out there. But just haven't had one to Pauley Pavilion so far.
You saw the Racers play Cal in the 76 Classic under Kennedy.
Yeah, played at Cal. So I forgot about that one. Yeah, at Berkeley, so out there. Yeah, it's just been a lot more trips than you might think to that state.
Yeah.
And then to think since I've done it, now they have been when Daryl Gibson did the games. They played at the tournament at Oregon, but never been to Oregon, been to Washington and down in there. Utah, 38 states with the Racers, 11 I haven't been to.
You have been to 38 states?
Yes.
Wow. Do you have a map at home where you like pin it up? And
I just went through one time. Someone asked me. I don't know. So I thought, well, I'm just going to get down and write them down.
Figure it out.
And 38 out of 50.
38 of the 50 is not bad. And you've even been to Alaska.
I have. And that's in Hawaii with the Racers, both.
You've been to Hawaii with the Racers? I didn't
sure
know that.
Have,
when
yeah.
did you
we
go?
We played in the Rainbow Classic when Coach Godfrey was the coach.
That's awesome.
That's the one where I've told this a million times.
That's the one I would have been like, nah, it's no big deal.
We get to the hotel and, you know, we're out on the balcony and we see it's close to, you know, we just got there. So the sun's about to go down. It's like, what are all those people out on the beach? There may be a whale out there. Let's go out and check it out. So we, you know, take down and walk across. What are they looking at? It's like, oh, they're here to watch the sunset. Like, oh my God. Okay. All right. I'm going back to the hotel. I was looking at a whale. So I went back. And then we saw the sunset in the ocean, and we didn't miss it another day. Then we understood why they were there to watch it. Because until you see it, like I've never, it looks like you're putting the sun in the water. And it's going to go out. It's going to extinguish itself. So, but until I saw it, it's like, I don't understand that. So what? Yeah, I see the sun go down every day. It's not that big a deal. Yeah, it's that big a deal. If you get a chance to go out there, you need to take it.
Until you see it dip into a limitless 24,000 feet.
Nuts.
Body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So got to go there. And I remember I'm sitting doing my first game. I look down about 40 seats down. I'm at one end of the court. The other thought, that dude down there, he looks just like Cal Ripken. I wonder if anybody's ever told him that. And then at halftime, I'd like to welcome Cal Ripken. He's just like, oh my God, it is Cal Ripken. And
that's incredible.
Never got to talk to him because
Cal
Ripken
was in Hawaii.
He was doing some sort of a camp over there or something, some sort of a baseball camp or something, speaking. And yeah, he was at the that game, but I didn't know it was him. I swear, I thought that dude does look just like Cal Ripken.
So I have a similar story, obviously in a much shorter time frame, but I had not done my prior research when we first went to
Cal Junior. By the way, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're good. Ripken Senior would have been just as good though, right. but Junior is amazing, Iron Man himself. And so, you know, my similar story is when we went to Ole Miss. And it was Terrell Miller and Croker and, you know, and Jonathan Stark and Bryce Jones, those guys. I did not realize, you know, like when you learn that Alabama is huge fans of Jacksonville State, and then we've seen Alabama, maybe not in concert, but we see them at every Jacksonville State game.
Yeah.
Like Alabama, the country band, loves Jacksonville State. They're huge proprietors of the program, cool dudes, great music, whatever. Being at Ole Miss that year, I kept doing double takes to the sideline because Morgan effing Freeman, or at least what looked like him, is wearing a plain old plaid shirt and a hat, whatever. Looks like Morgan Freeman sitting there over on the sidelines. And I was like, I took a couple of photos and I looked at them and I was like, that's got to be Morgan Freeman. And I was like, well, there was a line of people to talk to him. And I was like, this can't be Morgan Freeman. Why is Morgan Freeman? Why is he here at the Ole Miss game?
Yeah.
I did not know prior research that he was a huge supporter and donor to Ole Miss.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know any of this. And then at halftime, when he was like, all right, I've taken my pictures, I've done all this, and I could have met Morgan Freeman because they did the same exact thing. They were like, we would like to welcome our, you know, longtime support, Morgan Freeman. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, and one of my favorite movies of all time is Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to, at that point, I didn't want to bother him, but I almost did the whole fan thing where I was like, please, Mr. Freeman, can I just get your autograph? I mean, you're red from Shawshank Redemption, and I love you in Glory, and I love you in Seven, and I just love you in general. His narration of Frederick Douglass in the Civil War documentary by Ken Burns that published on PBS. Like, just, there are so many different things that I love Morgan Freeman for. And, you know, I do have a couple of photos of him that I took. So it's like, oh, I met Morgan Freeman, but not really. Like, I just, I saw him on the sideline, didn't know it was him until it was like halftime. And then my brain was like, it just melted. At that point, I was like, whatever, the Racers are playing basketball, who cares?
Don't feel bad. I have no, lots of celebrity stories, and none of them are good. They're all bad.
All
of them are bad.
I didn't.
Every one of them.
I did not correlate a Morgan Freeman appearance with a Murray State men's basketball game against Ole Miss. That's what the problem was. My brain was like, the two worlds don't collide.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, Morgan Freeman is a huge Ole Miss basketball fan, and he was definitely there taking in the game.
My biggest regret, and people are going to ask me when my career is over, I'm sure I'll do an interview somewhere, you have a biggest regret? It'll still be this. We went to Charleston, South Carolina in a tournament, 2012, I believe it was.
Okay.
Might have been 11, 12. I'm not sure which. I think whichever it was. I think it was in 12.
Yeah,
one of those 12-13 season.
One of those years with Cannon.
Yeah. And looked down, and there's Bill Murray hanging out with Bobby Crimmins there at the College of Charleston where they played the tournament. He watched both games that night, or three games. I think there were three games maybe that night at the gym. However many there were, I guess, not two in the day, two at night. But he was there for both games. Why didn't I go ask him to come on the radio? Bill Murray at Murray State. It's named after you, Bill. Sit down and do some color. Paul, give him your headset. Put it on, but I didn't do it. You know he would have done it.
Oh, he absolutely would have.
Come on with me for 10 minutes. Put the head, say whatever you want to say. Don't care.
No question.
It's like, what if he said something bad? So what?
It's Bill Murray.
It's Bill Murray. He can say it. It wouldn't be me saying it. It'd be him saying it. But that's my biggest regret. You know he would have come on. Would he have come on for Austin Peay? Maybe not. Belmont? I don't know. Murray State? Yes. But no.
Did you ever find out why he was at the tournament? Was it just
he's a good
fun?
Friend, plays golf with Bobby Crimmins. They're good friends. And he comes to Charleston, plays golf. So, yeah, that's why he was there.
That's amazing.
They just had him as a guest. Hey, come out, watch some hoops. We'll play some golf, stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll just make a weekend of it.
So, there we go. Man, we hadn't talked much sports at all today directly, have we?
Well, anyhow, that's okay, though.
Murray State, they play Brescia. I don't know much about Brescia, except they have already played twice. They're 0-2. Of course, I looked at their roster. They got about 50, 60 guys on the roster as they normally have. They'll usually bring 20 or 25 of them. I am exaggerating slightly. There'll be a bunch of dudes if they bring all of them.
Yeah.
With COVID, they might cut back on that a little bit. That's a distinct possibility. But they will have already played, and I do not know anything else about them. They're in Owensboro. Murray State's opponent for the women's side is Kentucky. We do know where they are. You already alluded to them.
Yeah, we know they're in Lexington.
And they're really, really good.
They are really good.
So that's what we have for you. We will have, unless something happens, there will be basketball Wednesday. It'll be on the air. It'll be on ESPN Plus here. Kentucky's game's probably an SEC Network game because they have it moved to the midday. It's like a noon tip-off or something like that.
And I think Associated Press will have coverage of it as well.
So there's a ton of coverage. That you'll finally be able to see some college hoops next week.
Well, the exciting thing I will say about Murray State playing Brescia and Kentucky Wesleyan is it does help out some in-state neighbors.
It does, and that part's good.
That part's extremely good. I mean, if you're looking out, would you love to have played a new Division I in Bellarmine? Would you have loved to have played, like at an MTE with UK and U of L? Maybe, but there was just – you and I talked about this last week, Neil – Murray State men's basketball schedule, and even to a degree the women's basketball schedule, even though it's a little bit stronger, both of them had great expectations for this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
The Murray State men's basketball original slate
was great.
It was supposed to be Arkansas Little Rock, yes, which is getting major publicity right now as, you know, as one of their big forwards is potentially the next, like, JUCO guy that's going to make it to the next level. Yeah, I mean, you've got... You know, I mean, you were supposed to have Chattanooga. We were supposed to have already inducted Cameron Payne, whose option, by the way, was picked up by the Phoenix Suns yesterday.
Okay.
He will play for the Phoenix Suns this year.
Good.
At least for the start, and I'm just dovetailing quickly into that. Cameron Payne and Billy Kennedy were supposed to have been part of the Hall of Fame induction this past weekend.
Yeah.
You and I are supposed to be talking about a Hall of Fame induction right now.
Sure.
About how that weekend went and maybe how the Racers held off a tough Chattanooga team. Instead, we're not. You know, and that's just where we are with things. You know, this was supposed to be the Auburn year. You know, the second of that contract. You know, we're starting to get. McMahon has hinted a little bit about how well we were able to attack the 2021-2022 season. You start to kind of hear these things, and
right,
you wonder what's been pushed down the road.
Yeah,
and then you put two and two together, and you can think if everything. Let's continue to knock on wood here. If everything gets returned to some sort of normalcy in that season, that schedule is going to be terrific.
Yeah.
In the meantime, these are the first two games. Here's where we are. December is going to be hell.
It gets really good after those two.
Yeah.
And those two may be good. I don't know. I mean, we've had a close call here or there with some of them. So.
Sure.
But they're not expected to be close games.
Yeah. They're expected to be competitive early as people feel themselves out. And then,
yeah.
Murray State should take care of business, but we'll see.
But I do want to say this, and I think you'll see this. This may be a year that there are a lot of upsets because teams haven't prepared as they normally have.
No.
There are no routines. There are no, well, we had a great summer. They didn't. They didn't have a great summer.
Nobody had a great summer, yeah. And your home court advantage is going to be very different.
And for your new players who usually you've had a chance to get them all ready to roll for the summer, they're behind. Teams with veterans that return a ton of veterans are going to be way ahead of the game rather than teams stocked with a ton of newcomers.
Yep.
They're going to take them a while to catch up.
Which is another reason why I think McMahon has been so adamant about the 72% production that's coming back.
Yes.
You lose a critical guy in Anthony Smith. I'm not saying that. And you definitely are. And Javion Eaves was, you know, really pretty terrific, and especially in conference play last year. The change that he was able to make in himself. You have those two guys alone that were quite a bit of production, you know, now graduated. So that's tough. I want to jump in now as we, you know, start to move ahead. We talk about all this basketball that is being played or is supposed to be played here in the next, you know, 72 to 96 hours. KHSAA, Kentucky High School Athletic Association, just moved winter sports schedule, the entire winter sports schedule, to the start of January 4th, with practices expected to resume December 14th and following, the 3 weeks after. So teams have already been practicing at the basketball level across the region. You're supposed to be playing starting Monday, November 23rd.
Yeah, we had a game Monday. So I forgot what it was, somebody.
Murray's girls were going to play Paducah Tillman.
That's right.
Because I would have either been at that or I would have been at the St. Mary Thanksgiving tournament, which had Carlisle County, Trigg, St. Mary, some decent smaller schools in the area were supposed to get together for a Thanksgiving festivities type of tournament, and none of it's happening, you know, now. And yeah. Marshall County Hoop Fest is supposed to start the first week of December. King of the Bluegrass, not too long after that. You know, big-time tournaments, big-time events being moved now. And we're just talking about this at the basketball level. This is not even swimming, not even competitive cheer, you know, a couple of other, you know, ancillary sports that, you know, are affected during the winter, all being moved to January 4th.
That affects kids, but doesn't affect broadcasting, because, I mean, and even you don't cover a lot of that as far as going out and sending reporters and things of that sort. So, but it certainly does affect that. We're usually used to flipping on the radio in December virtually every night, maybe except for Wednesday and Sunday, and you got basketball on, and that's not going to be the case. We're going to fill it with here on NBS, we have a few contract with some other things. We'll have a few select college games, big time, that we'll have on besides the Murray State games. That's going to be our December sports fair because there won't be anything else to do other than that and a few football games.
Right. And so the tough part about that is, too, I hate that basketball is being postponed because I know teams have been practicing. I know teams have been getting ready. I know teams have been trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But with schools having gone to NTI, you know, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, plus the fact that the high school football playoffs are as contentious as ever, yeah. We've had 20 teams already drop out of the first round of the playoffs. That might increase by this afternoon.
But half the teams are going to be gone after tonight.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, it'll be
for non-COVID reasons.
Yeah, they'll be out.
L gone. So yeah. it gets less and less impact every week statewide.
Right. It's just interesting. I know that it's a tough message because you're going to have high school football being played outdoors, albeit outdoors, mm-hmm. Over the next 4 to 5 weeks until a champion is crowned. I did find it interesting. I didn't know if you saw this, Neil, on Wednesday, that apparently the rule is going to be if you get to the semifinal round or the final round or you're approaching the final round and you're knocked out, they're not going to do it for any other rounds, but if you get knocked out, they are going to at least extend an invitation to the opponent that was defeated.
There you go. So advance. What they want to have games.
They want to have games, and they're going to declare a champion.
Gotcha. Okay. In six classes.
Yeah.
Might be a good time to reconsider six classes. But anyhow, that's another discussion down the road.
I mean, I'm a fan of four, but
Me too. Please.
I'm a fan of four or five. I'm also a fan of not inviting your terrible four seeds.
I could settle for that.
I could settle for that if you're going to keep the six classes. But
one and two.
Yeah, get rid of – yeah. Just give me one and two.
Gives the team a chance that maybe had a couple of injuries early on that's nice and healthy now and good. Gives them a shot.
And
I got that.
Of your 20 teams right now, if I'm not mistaken, only one or two of them are two seeds.
Right.
Not a single one seed's dropped out.
Yeah. Also, back to basketball. One thing I did catch, because this was tossed out there with basketball, is with the district, like shortening the district to where only the winners went to the regional tournament. Isn't that what they were at least discussing that, but they did not approve that, correct?
They did not approve it, but it's being discussed, and I think they're going to review.
Could still come.
It's possible on December 18th. They have another – their monthly meeting is going to
– And that impacts a lot because a lot of times when you're in, it's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter we're in.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really matter what happens in the championship game. Suddenly it matters what happens in the championship game because you're done if you lose.
If
they do approve that, but as of right now they haven't, considering it. And the reason is they said they could do both in the same week. Play your district, boom, boom, early in the week. Play your region at the end of the week.
Right.
All done in 1 week. And that's what they would do if they are to shorten it like that.
Yeah.
You're only dealing with four teams.
It's going to be really interesting to see kind of how all that shakes out.
It is.
Always got to get that in there. But, I mean, it really is because, you know, the first round of the playoffs, even tonight, you have Caldwell versus Murray.
What a game.
Here in Murray.
Usually they stink. First round of the playoffs almost always are all bad, but not tonight.
Not tonight. Callaway is going to be playing host to Hopkinsville.
Great game. I did that game the first time. What a game.
That's got a chance to be another great game as well. I'll be at McCracken Apollo, which should be a fairly high-scoring affair. Right? Two really good offensive teams.
Yeah.
Two pretty solid defensive teams that really, you know, McCracken's defense is terrific, but they've been off a month. And then you have Paducah Tillman, which returned from its quarantine status on November 6th, and they've not been able to play a game since either. So they've not played in 5 weeks, Neil. Tillman's hosting Trigg. Now, Trigg has never beaten Paducah Tillman in the history of high school football, not even in the days of Al Baker, who ran all over them, but they still didn't get the win. And that's, I'm bringing back 1985,
wow,
year I was born. Hey.
And Callaway was declared, they were declared, they were it. They were done. They were, you know, last rites given, season's over. 24 hours later, hang on, because of the decision made by the KHSA to push the playoffs back, that's the reason they're playing.
Yeah.
If this wasn't done, their season would be done. We wouldn't even talk
about
it.
And I think Murray's would have been, too. I know
could have been.
I know Murray had already discussed, well, we're going to go ahead and play, but that might have changed.
Could have.
You know, it could very well have changed. But, you know, because the NCAA's, excuse me, not the NCAA's, feels like it, the KHSAA's decision to SU another week and allow some affordability, I think they realized there in that moment 3 weeks ago that there were several schools that just didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
They were like, well, this is what we have to do because this is all we know to do.
Gives them a shot.
Yeah. So you still have had several schools opt out, and I hate that. From a local standpoint, you saw Ballard Memorial opt out. You saw Marshall County opt out. You saw Fulton County opt out. I don't mean any disrespect, but there's that's not a ton of wins between those three programs. Marshall County was slated to play Trinity. Yeah, you know, Ballard Memorial would have played, I believe it was Mayfield.
Yeah.
And Fulton County Russellville is the one game I thought, you know, Fulton County lost by a point the first time they, you know, the only time they played in the regular season. Maybe that one gets played. But when your three and your four seeds are the ones, you've had a couple of two seeds drop out, but when your three and your four seeds are the ones that are yanking themselves out of the playoffs, I really don't mean this like it sounds, but I mean, Neil, that tells me what I need to know. The one and the two seeds, the ones that need to be advancing into the playoffs anyway.
Right.
I just, if you don't have a good regular season, you really don't need to be in the playoffs. And I hate that. I'm not trying to take anything away from
kids. I don't have any problem with that at all. At some point in life, you have to learn if you do well, you're rewarded, and if you don't, you're not. The everybody gets a trophy thing isn't really good for anybody.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. Right. I'm just saying from a painstaking standpoint, I understand that upsets happen. We've seen outside of your occasional four seeds, like McCracken County, for instance. McCracken County football was a victim of a 1-4 district loss because they had to host four-seeded PRP. Well, PRP, Pleasure Ridge Park, is in Louisville. They were a grossly underrated four seed because they were favored in that game because it's freaking PRP. Yeah. I mean, look at who all they had to play during their regular season that year. Does a four seed beating a one seed happen very often? No. Does it happen? Sure. More often than not, though, mathematically, it is not going to happen. So you have to take that into consideration moving forward. If you're not going to reclassify, which you're probably not going to.
I don't think so.
Man, you can at least trim the first round of the playoffs.
Maybe that.
Just a little bit.
Hope so.
Just a smidge. Neil, it's been fun, man.
Is that near the end?
I mean, we killed it all, buddy. I mean, we had the Murray State, the KHSAA, the Ja Raff.
Yeah, yeah.
I even went ahead and mentioned the NBA draft.
Cameron Turkey Thursday.
Cameron Payne is being re-signed. Yeah. I don't know what we're having yet. Obviously, with the new stipulations, we will have a smaller gathering. We were going to have a small gathering either way, so this doesn't affect me.
We don't have big gatherings anyway, but we're not going to be affected by it anyway whatsoever.
I've got to be prepared for sports. I mean, I'll have high school football that Friday.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of practices, especially if, you know, Mayfield will be back in the playfield ranks. They're used to practicing during Thanksgiving anyways, except this time, instead of preparing for the third round, they're preparing for the first.
Right.
Their first round, the second round. So, because they got the bye. So, just, you know, little things next week, but...
Yeah.
I'll be sending all purchase ballots out fairly soon for the Paducah Sun for football. Be really interesting, but I mean, sports is quiet.
It won't be next week unless something happens.
Yeah,
we'll at least have college basketball
and high school football,
and that's nightly once it gets going. I mean, you know, OVC, the SEC, and at least somebody's playing all the time.
Oh yeah,
so it'll be fun, Ed. I won't see, I don't think, before Thanksgiving, so hopefully you and your family have a good one.
You too, and we'll talk soon after the Racers start their basketball season.